Hello, everyone, and welcome to Minute 79 of Season 7 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast where we yippee-ki-yay our way through the 1995 Bruce Willis action film Die Hard with a Vengeance, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is Richard Kirkham of Kirkham Movie A Day. Welcome back to the show, Richard.
Thanks, Rob. Glad to be here. Looking forward to talking with you about today's minute, and hope all your listeners are anxious to learn a lot about the aqueduct project.
Well, we'll see what our guy Jerry has for us to learn today. Minute 79 begins with Zeus asking a question and ends with Jerry giving John his outfits. So we ended things yesterday with John finally figuring out what's going on with the aqueduct, and you know he turned to Zeus and was telling him that where they're going to meet, and this minute starts with Zeus going wait, what am I supposed to do? And he goes, you're going to go to Yankee Stadium. And he goes, McClane, go get out of here, we got less than 2 hours, god damn it. And then we see that Zeus then goes and gets in the car to get out of there. And then the foreman turns to them and goes, hey, is something wrong? Yeah. Which is just really funny that, he's been sitting there listening to them having this whole conversation and this argument and stuff like that. And
yeah, he doesn't even ask them the question until they're in their vehicles driving away.
That's right. Yeah. And John is driving in with Jerry, which, if John checked Jerry's dump truck and it's empty. So, like, why is Jerry going in there? What is he supposedly delivering? Or is it that – because it seems to me this is a one-way aqueduct.
Well, I assume that they're picking up the dirt where they're digging and taking it someplace and dumping it, and that's what the trucks are doing on a regular basis. So you would have empties showing up and then filling up there on the project and then driving someplace and dumping whatever you had.
Okay. I didn't think about that. You're right. Like I said, the foreman is just looking at them like completely befuddled, as they're going here. And then we get a shot inside of the tunnel, and Jerry starts giving an explanation as to what's going on here. He goes, and I love the way that he's like in the middle of his conversation as it starts off, and he goes, 480 yards of rock moved so far. Now that's 10 times the Hoover Dam. Right now, there's 516 feet of rock above our heads. This part is phase 3 of Tunnel 3. Planning for it began back in 1954, but construction didn't begin until June of 1970, which is obviously stuff we talked about the other day when we went into this whole thing. He goes, you know what the most interesting part of this of Tunnel 3 is? And John just like looks at him and smirks and goes, what's that, Jerry? The valves, each one... and they show us the external shot of another one of the dump truck that's like stopped in front of them, and like the audio kicks in and out at the same time with this whole thing. But John seems to be really enjoying this. He's got a huge smirk on his face with this whole thing.
Well, Jerry is basically like a docent on a tour at a museum, full of information that isn't necessarily important or critical at this particular time or place. But he wants to share it, so he's going to make sure that John gets the full tour, the nickel tour, as they say.
Yeah, that's true, and it coincides with what we were talking about the other day from Wikipedia. So apparently Jerry has read Wikipedia, or Jerry is the one who actually wrote the information on Wikipedia. So therefore, when we're going to watch what he says here, we'll say, oh, okay, so obviously what he's saying is true because he put it there. One of the fallacies of Wikipedia. I mean, I remember that there was a few months ago at work. We were doing something with some company overseas, and they needed to confirm that I am who I am. So they asked me for the name of a colleague that can confirm it. So I gave the name of one of the people in my team, who works below me, and they sent her an email asking her to confirm that I am who I am. So it's like, if you're asking someone to confirm yourself,
it's a little strange, you know.
Yeah, doesn't make
and
much
you,
sense.
And you could easily have Stephen Glassed them.
Yes, you could. You could. until someone catches you, and then that glass will be shattered.
And you set up your own fake website, so that when people call, you've got a phone set up to say, "Oh yes, you've reached the offices of so and so."
That's right.
Movie Rob does work for us, but if you want to call back at a different time.
Exactly. Now, I'm assuming you've seen Shattered Glass, or yes. Are you just talking about? No, maybe you're talking about that you know the actual story.
Yeah.
Yeah, could be either way.
Saw the movie, read the book, took the test.
I didn't know if there was a book about that or a test. Okay. Could be either way. So he mentions here the Hoover Dam. So what do you know about the Hoover Dam?
Oh, well, it was named after Herbert Hoover. It's on the Colorado River. It creates Lake Mead right outside of Las Vegas. It provides a lot of the power that is used by the city of Las Vegas. One of the reasons that they can afford to have all of the lights on in Las Vegas is because of the convenience of the hydroelectric energy created there by Hoover Dam. It was originally called Boulder Dam. I'm not exactly sure. I guess because it was originated under the Hoover administration, maybe that's why they decided to call it Hoover Dam. I don't know the exact date that it was started, and I couldn't tell you the exact date that they changed the name. But I can tell you that if you want some damn pictures, you got to show up at the right spot.
isn't that like one of the places where you? Oh no, that's on the border. I was thinking that there's a place where you can stand, and in one spot you're standing in four states.
That's Four Corners. I do think there is a place where it may very well be where you cross from Nevada into Arizona on the Hoover Dam. I'm trying to remember. I think that's what it is.
They started construction in 1931 and it was opened in 1936. Hence, as you said, it was done during Hoover's term as president in 1931. So in all the bills in Congress, they had referred to it as the Hoover Dam. But when they actually opened it, the Roosevelt administration decided to name it Boulder Dam instead of Hoover Dam, political jab. That's
a political thing, yeah.
Yeah. And in 1947, 2 years after Roosevelt died, Congress restored the name Hoover Dam. Which it's actually interesting that Truman was the president at that point. So you still had the Democrat there.
Yeah, but I do think that the Republicans finally took control of Congress for a couple of years, and that's probably the 2 years that it was happening.
Mm. Right. Okay, it could be.
And Truman probably wasn't going to waste a veto on something like that.
Waste? It's not like you have a limited number of vetoes.
It's utilization of your power. And, you want to use power with discretion. It's political power that you use. You'd have to, because you have to expend energy to get your veto upheld. And do you really want to spend your energy
right.
worrying
okay.
about That's something true. Petty like that?
Right. So, I mean, basically, when they had the ribbon cutting ceremony in 1930, they named it Hoover Dam, which was a part of the tradition of naming dams after presidents. But most of them were after they finished their term in office. And you know, there was a lot of outcry about Hoover. There's a news article that said the great engineer had quickly drained, ditched, and dammed the country. So, you know, people were not very happy with Hoover at that point, obviously.
Yeah, they gave him a lot of the blame for the depression, although it's his responses were, well, let's not go there. We don't have enough time to talk about the history of the Smoot-Hawley tariff and all that other stuff. What may have created the Great Depression and, you know, Hoover's part in it. I can, however, say that I have been to the Hoover Library and resting place there in Iowa.
I didn't even know that he was buried in Iowa.
Yep. Presidential Library and Museum is in Iowa.
Okay. It's interesting. People just didn't like the idea of calling it Boulder Dam. That's what it was. And the bill that was passed in 1947 by both houses of Congress were unanimous in restoring the name Hoover Dam.
Yeah, and there's another reason why a veto wouldn't be a wise move, because if it's unanimous, it's not going to be upheld.
So, right, that's the Hoover Dam, and Jerry's giving us information about that. And and basically, as they continue driving, you see a dump truck that's stopped in front of them. And Jerry starts getting a little upset about it. And he goes, come on, what a hell of a place to break down. And he's just honking. Now, you'd think he would have a little more courtesy if someone broke down. Then what's the point of honking at them?
You know, I'm sorry.
On the road.
You lived in New York, didn't you?
No. New Jersey. New Jersey. Well, yeah. People are assholes.
You know, if you're broken down on the side of the road and anybody has to slow down for a second, they get pissed about it and they honk their damn horns. If you run out of gas in the middle lane on a city street, people are going to honk at you, even though it's pretty obvious that you're having a problem. They do it anyway, because people are asses.
Okay. I guess that, you know, that sums it up pretty easily.
Jerry seems like a nice enough guy, but, you know, he is a truck driver.
That's true also, but he's studying to be a beautician, so you never know. And did you notice that during the journey, when Jerry's giving this whole thing, they give us a great shot of one of these, you know, we talked about it yesterday, that the foreman said that there are vents every 2 miles or whatever it is. So we get a shot of that vent, which is basically, you know, Chekhov's vent.
Chekhov's vent, yes. Not exactly sure why that vent was hanging open, why the grill on it was hanging down here.
From what I understand, they all are. I think every one of them that we see, they have them hanging down. I guess it makes it easier to get in. I don't know.
Well, maybe since it hasn't been completed yet, they don't need that.
Right. And Jerry gets, like, really upset. Did you also see how his shirt is cut open?
Well, I know he's got the sleeves cut off.
That's right. He got his sleeves cut off, and it just looks really, really weird with the way that the whole thing looks. And Jerry's just pissed and decides he's going to get out of the truck and go start yelling at the other driver, which John then basically saves him and says, hold it a minute, Jerry. Let me have your hat. And he goes, you got a jacket? He goes, yeah, here. And he hands him the jacket also. And so it's, you know, they're setting us up for something. And, you know, I like the way that they do that. And people are going to have to come back tomorrow to find out what we're being set up for. Who knows? Could be something interesting. Did you have anything else for this minute, Richard?
I do not.
All right. So let's go to the script. So the script. They haven't reached the aqueduct yet at that point. So what starts off is it says, so McLean basically sends Zeus off before they even get to the aqueduct. So McLean hands Zeus the slip of paper on which he recorded the card catalog number. Go to the library and get the book, then follow the aqueduct north. What are you going to do? I'm going into the tunnel. You know, you are one sick motherfucker, McLean. You know, Zeus, I think you're beginning to like me. And then he turns to the driver and says, let's go. McLean and the driver move quickly to the truck. McLean, god damn it. But McLean is gone. Zeus scowls. He runs to the Mercedes. And then it jumps here to the reservoir. The point at which the aqueduct reaches Manhattan, a line of dump trucks is entering the tunnel. Another line of dump trucks is exiting. Panning past the trucks entering the tunnel, Simon's dump trucks have fallen in line. Simon and his drivers behind the wheels of their trucks. Then it says the construction site, the dump truck with McLean and the driver roll up to the aqueduct tunnel opening. McLean says, what's your name? Jerry Parks. Nice to meet you, Jerry. They begin to enter the tunnel entrance. You know anything about history, Jerry? Yeah, some. And he goes, who's the 27th president? Jerry Parks gives McLean a funny look. Howard Taft. He goes, are you sure? And then he goes, yeah, after serving two terms in the Senate and one term in vice president. Interesting man. Do you know he was ambassador to Sweden? McLean gives Jerry Parks a funny look. So in the script, they needed to find the 27th president, not the 21st. So then McLean says, no, I didn't, Jerry. Jerry Parks' dump truck rumbles into the aqueduct and pulls into the pumping station excavation site. Here, an enormous subterranean room is being dug for the aqueduct's pumping station. Backhoes are filling the dump trucks with excavated dirt and rubble. At one end of the pumping station, we see the actual aqueduct tunnel openings, a 32-foot diameter tube. See, this is all indoors also. In the movie, it's so much better to see them like drive into the, you know, into the big tunnel from outside.
Yeah, there's way more exposition in the script than there is in the film itself, and the film is cleaner.
That's right. Jerry pulls up next to the backhoe operator. Hey, you seen any dump trucks pulled into the tunnel? The guy cups his head into his ear. What? McLean then yells, Did any trucks pull into the tunnel? Huh? McLean turns to Jerry Parks. How far does the tunnel go? Jerry says, Catskill Mountains. But we already brought the water down to northern Westchester. There's a retaining wall up there. McLean says, you got a car? Right outside. He basically sends Jerry on a thing. And McLean then says, I'm going to take your dump truck. So, again, it's a little strange the way that they do it here, the whole thing. So, that's pretty much all we have for the script at this point. Tomorrow we'll get a little bit more into some of the other stuff that they've added in here. Okay, we'll have to see how that all works. So every Thursday we have a segment called Off the Beaten Track Revenge, Sibling Rivalry Edition, where my guests will give some sort of story, anecdote, adventure, misadventure, something has happened to them over the course of their life that is related to revenge or sibling rivalry. So, Richard, you have any stories for us?
Well, I have, one surviving sibling that I never really had much of a rivalry with, but I did have a little bit of a rivalry with my debate partner in college. He was a smart ass, always wanted to get in the last word, I think, and he was a smart guy, and I love him. You know, he's one of my best friends. But it's always great when you get a chance to one-up somebody who is being smug. And I had this opportunity years and years ago when we were out to dinner at a very nice restaurant at holiday time because he thought he knew more about what was going on in the movie business than I did. And I got a chance to show him up in a way that was very satisfying. We're having dinner and we were talking about a movie that was being released at the time. So you can figure out what the year was on this. It must have been 1985 or 86 because the movie is Shanghai Surprise, starring Madonna and her then husband, Sean Penn.
Sean Penn.
Yes.
I think it was 86 if I remember correctly.
Yeah. And we're sitting there talking about it and I was starting to I don't want to say badmouth the film, but I said I don't have high expectations on it. And he was sure that it was going to do well. He says, oh, you know, he's a big movie star. Everybody knows him. She's, you know, on the brink of this superstardom. They're going to make a ton of money, blah, blah, blah. And I had already been reading box office returns on this movie and knew that it was tanking badly. And I just let him keep talking and talking and talking. And finally I said, well, if you want to put some money on it, I'm happy to make a bet with you. And we made a bet, and I already knew the outcome. It's one of those things, it's like the sting. I already knew the outcome of the race, and I'm making this bet with him. And when he discovered that that had happened, I think he was a little embarrassed in front of our friends that we were having dinner with. And it was one of those times when I got to say, I got the one up on him, and I felt really good about it. So, you know, that's about as close as I get to a rivalry story.
Okay. How much did you win off him on that one?
I don't remember. You know, he paid for dinner that night instead of me.
Okay. That is fair. Yes. Okay. Great story. Thank you very much for that, Richard.
Sure.
Richard, would you like to once again tell people where they can find Richard Kirkham?
Yes. Well, I'm the host of the Lamcast, which is the official podcast of the Large Association of Movie Blogs. You can find us at largeassmovieblogs.com, or you just search Lamcast on any of the socials. On my own personal site is Kirkham A Movie A Day. If you type in KIRKHAM, A Movie A Day, you'll get two sites that'll show up. One's a blogger site, one's a WordPress site. Both of them have the same current content, but the blogger site has links to a lot of other projects that I've done as well. So if you're looking for content, there's plenty there for you to peruse.
All right. Excellent. And while you're doing that, you can go rate, review, and subscribe on any podcast you might be using to listen to the show. Finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Around Minute. You can find me on Facebook, you can find me on Twitter, you can find me on Instagram, you can find me on my website, movieroundminute.com, and if you feel like sending me an email, send it to movieroundminute@movierob.net. So Richard, you feel like you want to come back tomorrow to finish off this week, and you know, maybe we'll find a couple corpses.
You never know. I assume somebody's going to die in a Die Hard movie. So I'm hoping I'm here for an episode where that does happen.
Well, we have people that have died already, you know, so.
Not in my 5 minutes.
No, not in your 5 minutes. For 5 minutes, we've just been driving around the New York area looking for the aqueduct.
Yeah. So far, I've gotten 5 minutes to talk about Die Hard and nobody's died. I know that that's coming to an end, though.
Okay, we'll see what we can do about that tomorrow. Maybe we'll find a way to kill somebody. if you insist.
Yes. Somebody's okay. Got to die hard.
I'll give you that one then. All right, so Richard, until tomorrow. Yippee-ki-yay!
Johnny comes marching home again. Hoorah, hoorah. We'll give him a hearty welcome then. Hoorah, hoorah. The men will cheer, the boys will shout, the ladies they will all turn out, and we'll all feel glad when Johnny comes marching home.